It's 11 and 4 Square Church. The pastor's kind of stuck on studying the Bible. Can you believe that? You know what's really amazing is I left my sermon on my desk. I usually spot that ahead of time. I think I did. Hey, Chris, can you go grab my sermon off my desk, please? God willing, it's there. I can wing it. Yeah, then we can really find out. Excellent. Woo, it's there. I do have the gift of gab, but I'm telling you, it when you get up here, sometimes you lose your train of thoughts, and notes are really great to pull you back in. It's like, where was I? Oh, yeah. But I'm sure not only do I appreciate, but I think you'll probably appreciate it too. Well, we're doing our study in Romans, and we're not trying to race through, but trying to grab a hold of every bit of nourishment that God has for our soul. And so I pray that you're patient and you're not wanting to move on, but that you can enjoy what God has for us as we unwrap the gospel in Romans. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning, Lord, that we can come and celebrate, Lord, a building that's warm, that we can be not just warm physically, Lord, but because of your presence, we can be warm spiritually. Lord, a place of comfort, Lord, a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of encouragement. Lord, open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts to your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in chapter 4. We're going to take a look at verses 9 to 17 in Romans 4. Let's just jump in, verse 9. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. What's a blessedness that Paul's talking about? Well, he says, is this blessedness only for the circumcised? With that, you know, it's always hard to find where to stop, but I think context is really important. And so what he's talking about is just the verse before, verses 7 and 8. He quotes David in Psalms. He says, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord will never count against them. So he's just finished saying that, and he says, is this blessedness, is this forgiveness, is this gift of righteousness that God's given us forgiveness? Remember we talked about forgiveness is nothing that you can demand. It only can be given as a gift, right? So this blessedness, this gift of righteousness, this acceptance of God without condition or reservation, God's acquittal of us, this declaring us innocent, this love that keeps no record of wrongs, that kind of blessedness, is it just for the circumcised? Who is this incredible blessing for? Because Paul's been talking a lot about the Jews, right? Because that's his audience, that is his background. Starting with the salvation is first to the Jews and then who? The Gentiles, the rest of us. And so he wants to start out saying, hey, you Jews, you were given the gospel from the start. You're the ones that God, you know, has given salvation to. And they're like, yeah, we know. But the challenge was they had some mistaken thinking. You know, as Paul refers back to, as we look at Romans 3:22, which is really what he's giving evidence and expanding their understanding, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. To all who believe. Paul's been preaching the gospel for like 22 years now. And he knows where he's going to rub people the wrong way. And he knows that this righteousness by faith is one of those things that are really going to tweak the Jewish audience. In fact, when he gets put in jail, it's because they're saying, you don't like Moses. You disregard him. You don't have regard. And Moses was like the pinnacle of, after Abraham, of what the Jewish nation was about and the law that God gave. And so they looked at Paul when he talked about righteousness by faith. They said, man, you don't have any regard for the law. Man, throw him in jail. And that was easy to get the Jewish audience riled up. And so Paul knows that this is going to be an issue for them of righteousness by faith. Paul addresses in this section circumcision. And as we talked before, circumcision was the second most important identity that Jews had. First was they were given the law through Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah, the law. They were given that, and they held it as sacred, God's specific communication to the Jews. As we know, it goes way beyond that, but to them, they were the people of God. They were God's holy nation. But after the law, circumcision was how they identified themselves as holy and set apart from the world. And because circumcision was so central to the Jewish identity, because circumcision was so centered to their theology, their understanding of who God was and how He moved and their relationship, Paul knew that the Jews would be drawn to a performance-based righteousness. And faith plus circumcision equals righteousness. Faith plus performance equals righteousness. Do you know that a lot of us struggle with that same problem? We're saying, oh man, I'm not right with God unless I do this. I am not forgiven unless I do this, unless I perform. In fact, there's a lot of people that struggle. I have a friend who's involved in AA, and he's struggled over the years, and he, through different circumstances, recognized his illness wasn't something that he could gloss over any longer. It infected his marriage. It infected his integrity as a husband and a father. And he began to go to the AA meetings. And he says, you know, Scott, he says, I am serious about this. And he just got his 90-day coin. You guys know that's 90 days of sobriety, of addiction-free living. And in that process, he says, I am there every single week. Every single week. And he says, it makes my heart sad because we will see people come 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and before they even get their 30-day coin, they don't show up. And the challenge is they don't show up the week after that. Why? Because it's shame. Because it's shame. He's like, I blew it again. I've been trying to get out of this. I blew it again. I can't go back there again because they're going to know that I messed up. They're going to know that I didn't perform. And that's it. That's the challenge, that faith alone accomplishes our righteousness, our acceptance before God. And Paul is just kind of, he really wants them not just to accept the truth of that, because we know that we have to understand, we have to believe it for ourselves, don't we? Before we, you always can tell when somebody doesn't, they, over time, they can say something that's true, but you can kind of tell they don't believe it, right? Because of how they live their lives. They're like, things come up, they're like, no. You know, this car's going to last me. It'll take us anywhere. But yet they're not ready to go to the next state in it. I was like, you really don't think that car's going to last, do you? Oh, yeah, it's going to last. Well, why aren't you comfortable driving it more than 100 miles from your house? Well, the truth is, they don't believe it'll take them there. So Paul asks a question. He wants them to think about something. He says, when was Abraham circumcised? Another, that identity, right? That Jewish identity. When was he circumcised? Before or after he was given the gift of righteousness? And we know, as we studied, where Paul quotes that Abraham received his righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. God said, here's who you are. Here's what I'm going to give you. you have no children, I'm going to give you an heir. And the word says, Abraham believed God. And he said it was credited him for righteousness. And so what Paul's trying to say, hey, look, let's talk about the order thing. Everybody's like, was Abraham righteous? They're like, all the Jews would say, yeah, Abraham's righteous. It's like, well, how did that come? Well, doesn't it say here that because he believed God? Well, yeah, it says that. But circumcision, man, you all got to be circumcised to be right with God. And wait a minute. Paul says, let's go back in Abraham. You respect him, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's the father of our nation. Well, when was he circumcised? He was circumcised after he was declared righteous. So circumcision has nothing to do with being credited with righteousness. So performance can have nothing to do with our righteousness. It is by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And I know it seems like we've had like five messages about this. And Paul, as he's talking, but it's all different angles. Because you know that we can hear something in our head, but not understand it in our heart. We need some repeats. We need some things beat into us. Faith plus nothing achieves our righteousness. Faith plus nothing. I was in my car last night and I had forgotten that I root for the Oregon Ducks. And I'd forgotten that they had their first bowl game against Boise State. And my daughter-in-law graduated from Boise State. And so we were in the car riding up to Portland together, and she said, hey, Scott, look at this. And it was like 31-14 or something. And it was, you know, halftime or third quarter. And she showed that to me, and I was like, oh, I forgot it was on, but maybe it was good that I forgot. You know, and then I kept looking at it, seeing if it was going to get better. And it didn't. They got squashed. And one of her classmates messaged a picture of the Oregon O, and then had about 10 other pictures of people, you know. And he says he researched it, and so far that is the record of Oregon's win against Boise State.
Zero.
Zero. Faith plus zero. Nothing, however you want to define it, equals righteousness. The blessing of faith does not come by performance. Do you realize what good news that is? My righteousness, my relationship with God does not depend on my performance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. No more anxiety. How many guys feel like sometimes you don't measure up? Am I the only guy that struggles with that sometimes? No more anxiety. No more shame. No more hiding. No more facades. No more posturing. No more masks. No more replaying that video of regrets over and over. You guys have that one in your machine that you replay over and over? Why didn't I say? Why didn't I do? Why did I? What good news. Our standing before God is totally dependent on our faith in trusting Him, not on our performance. No more stressing to perfectly execute our performance, our parenting, our conversations, our relationships, our jobs. So what's the point of circumcision then? What's the point? Why did God tell Abraham to go be circumcised? And Paul points out it was to be a sign of God's righteousness given by faith. It was to be a sign of Abraham's believing God. A seal of righteousness. God's insignia stamp. Back in the day, it had rings that they put stamped in wax on a letter that said, this is from the King. It was to be a seal, an insignia on our lives to reflect His identity, authority, and future. Abraham and the nation would come from Abraham. And out of that, to create a nation, a holy nation of people who were God's special possession, is set apart and loved to carry this sign of their righteousness. What we do outwardly is a sign of what is going on inside. Can you tell when people are stressed out, distracted, insecure, or angry? Those are outward signs of what? Of what is going on the inside. Do you notice when people are at peace in difficult situations? Kind, confident, in spite of their imperfections, and still loving of others? That too is a sign of what's going on the inside. Romans 2:29. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. Back in Romans 2, as Paul begins to his conversation to the Jews, what is it that brings that change? What is it that brings us that peace? It's not what we do. It's God's Spirit living in us. It's God's Spirit actively changing us. Does it happen all at once? Not to me. It's a lifetime of change, but it's happening. It's growing. I think of it as kind of like a wedding ring. If I wear my wedding ring, does this mean I'm married? No. Anybody can wear a wedding ring. In fact, I know some women who do, just to keep guys from hitting on them. It's sad to say that doesn't always work. But this is just a sign. It's a sign of your love and commitment to your spouse. It's a sign. Paul said circumcision is not what brings you righteousness. This does not make me married. But it should be a sign of my commitment to my wife, to my spouse. What seal of righteousness do you and I show of what's going on the inside? Going to church, that's going to kind of blow you guys away. Going to church does not make you a Christian. Woo! Feel the ground shake. Oh my gosh. Whoa, what was that? The ground is rippling. But Christians don't neglect meeting with other Christians. Having good relationship with people doesn't make you a Christian. But Christians pursue healthy relationships with others. Being baptized, water baptized, doesn't make you a Christian. But Christians get baptized. This is my little opportunity here. Water baptism. We have this really cool baptismal that we bought with Sweet Home Foursquare. And there's some of you here who have made a commitment to Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've made that step of faith, say, I'm going to trust Jesus. I don't know what this looks like, but I know what I've been doing ain't it. And this is just a step. Does this make you saved? No. But this is a sign of obedience. There's two things that Jesus said to do. One is celebrate communion. Remember what I did on the cross. Remember what I did. And the second one is get baptized. Believe and be baptized. Does this make you saved? No. But it is significant. It's a sign of what's going on the inside. And I say that because if you decide, you can pick one of these up. It's on the board outside. And it's just a little fill in the name and just... contact information and tell us about how you accepted Jesus as your Savior, a little bit of your story. And we'll meet together and we'll talk, and I want to put that on the calendar. People be baptized saying, hey, this is an outward sign of what's going on the inside. There's things like in life, and so it's as we talk through Scripture, as we unwrap the gospel, people are always afraid, well, if it's just righteousness comes by faith, then you'll just go and do everything you want to do. Well, guess what? That's a sign, isn't it? How you live your life is a sign of what's going on the inside. That means you don't get it. It doesn't mean that we live perfectly, but when we fail, we get back up off the ground and say, God, would you save me? Would you help me? Would you change my heart? I want to see things differently. I know it's hard to believe, but did you know that Scott had a season and has struggles with security? That I can be insecure? I was like, no way, man. You're kidding me. Every single one of us. Let's get up here. Let's line up. How many? You know? All of us got things that we need to trust the Lord in. All of us. What are we going to do? We want to allow the Lord to work inside of us and those outside things. Even, you know, as God touched my heart, I realized I wanted to pass as few of my issues to my kids as I could. Okay? I've got issues. I got sin issues. Okay? If I don't deal with them, I pass them on to my kids. Okay? I'm glad to say that I dealt with every single one of them. And none of them got passed on. Not true. I dealt with them. But there's ones that I couldn't get rid of. There's things that I still was working on. But here's what I did. I realized that I praise the Lord, there's things that God removed from me and priorities that changed. But with the ones that remained, and as I walked through them, I wanted to teach them how to repent. That means, would you forgive me? I really messed up. I thought this was the priority, and I walked all over you, and I realized now that wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry that I made this the big deal when it wasn't. This is the big deal, and you were right. So that I've not only maybe shielded them from some of my issues, and now they just get to work on their own issues, but I've exampled to them of how to walk through that. What do you do when you mess up? Is it all over? No. Why? Because righteousness comes by faith alone. God, I trust that what Jesus did on the cross wipes the slate clean. My wife and I were sitting in our old people chairs looking out the window this morning, having a quiet time, and we in a place where we could see the sun come up, and I said, I am not getting tired of this scene. Okay, maybe I'm old, you know, because I like flowers too now and birds. But I was like, you know, just reminded me of that verse. And somebody even said this morning, your mercies are new every morning. And Jackie said, as we talked about it, she goes, yeah, isn't it cool that we can start with a new slate with God every single day? Every moment. You're like, I screwed up here. Well, guess what? In the next moment, you can walk in faith. You can walk in God's righteousness. And it starts by saying, there's a way to righteousness, and that ain't it. Lord, you're it. Would you forgive me? Would you help me? And not only in your own relationship with God, but how you deal with people, how you walk through stuff. That's how we walk in righteousness, how we example it. Paul goes on and says something that would really irk his Jewish audience. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised. What? Abraham's the father of Gentiles? In order that righteousness might be credited to them as well. Verse 12. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also fall in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Abraham then, if he is the father of all who believe, is the father of the uncircumcised Gentiles who believe. They too are credited with righteousness because they believe God, not because they've been circumcised, not because of performance. Abraham is also the father of Jews, the circumcised. In the flesh, right? Two different kinds of circumcision. One is just a physical, and so he's identified in the flesh. But those who follow in the footsteps of faith, circumcision of the spirit, things that are changing from the inside. The blessing of faith does not come from our lineage. We have two different kinds of lineage. It's your physical lineage. Some of us are really proud of who we are. It was like, Eberhard, man, my dad, my grandpa, my great-grandpa, this is the lineage. This is what they walked out. Steadfast faith. Which was not the case, by the way. But you know what I'm talking about? Proud of your lineage. Faith doesn't come by your lineage. It's as spiritual and righteous as Grandpappy was. It doesn't go to you that way. And the reverse is true, because some of you are ashamed of your past. In fact, you don't even want to have the same name as your dad because of the history and the lives they lived. Guess what? You're not impacted by that either. Faith comes by our spiritual lineage. It comes by faith alone. It comes through faith in God. That's the lineage that ties us all together. God's people are not determined by biological descent from Abraham, but by spiritual descent from Abraham. Paul goes on in verse 13. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing. And the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. There is no sin. There is no disobedience. Paul expands on the blessing of faith. What did Abraham do to receive God's promise of blessing? And the blessing I'm talking about is back in Genesis 12. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you, will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He's telling this to a guy who has no kids, right? That I'm going to make you a nation and bless through you. God's promises are received by faith. Abraham didn't do anything to receive God's promise, a blessing. The blessing of faith does not come by keeping the law. To me, it's so fascinating. Righteousness is pretty cool, to be declared innocent before God through faith. But his promises also come through faith. There's some cool promises that God has to bless people, to give a hope and a future. If you're depending on the law to receive God's promises, then faith and God's promises have no value to you. Because the only thing you get out of depending on your obedience is God's wrath. We talked before, all of us are pretty cognitive, pretty aware of our failure to be perfect. Well, okay. If you were to grade yourself, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm thinking that it's less than average. When perfection, there's not a curve, right? I depended on the curve in some of my classes. God doesn't grade on the curve. It's 100% or not. It's a pass-fail. The blessing of faith does not come from keeping the law. Because the only thing that you'll get out is God's wrath. For all fall short of the glory of God. In verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, the Jews, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, which includes everybody, Gentiles included. He is the father of us all. It is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is the father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls us into being things that we're not. God's the only one who can make something out of nothing. Some of you are good at that, but that something isn't very good. Right? They call it making a mountain out of a molehill. You still got something to start with. God starts with nothing and makes something out of it. The blessing of faith unites all into one people of God. Not only does my righteousness, right standing, and declaration of innocence come by faith, but God's promises of blessing come by faith. You know, how many you struggle with believing God's good promises about you? You know, he's like, wow, I haven't seen it yet. You know, like Thomas, seeing is believing. I describe our walk of faith. If you can imagine how something can take place, it's not dependent on God. Right? Some of you guys are can-do kind of people. Type A personalities. If you can't put it together, you're going to make it happen. You know what I'm talking about? And some of us are better at that than others. And so that I was challenged by that, because I can think of a lot of cool things that are pretty big. But I was challenged, like, I'm not dependent on God. What am I dependent on? My ability, my skill. I'm not dependent on God. The reality is, as we look at God's promises, they got to be way bigger than us. God promises a legacy. God promises healthy family and relationships. God promises a future in heaven and a place of satisfaction like none other. God promises to change our hearts. I think one of the biggest miracles God does is not a physical healing. God's biggest miracle is a change of hearts. How he can change a bean counter, self-centered, materialistic, greedy, lusting person into somebody who loves people, who cares about people. That's a miracle. Don't get me wrong. I'm not batting 100. But I am a changed person because of Jesus Christ. And I know I would not be married today had I stayed on that road. I would not love my wife like I do today. I would not love my kids like I do today. I would not have the influence I do today if it wasn't for Jesus who changed my heart. Comes by grace. God's promises, his decision to give a gift. Gifts are given, not earned. Paul wants to expand his readers' understanding of God's plan of salvation. And he quotes from Genesis 17:5. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be, Abram, meaning exalted father, to your name will be Abraham, meaning father of many or father of nations. For I have made you a father of one nation, many nations. Many nations. When we talk about the blessing of faith unites all into one people. God has always had faith in view as a basis for building his kingdom. It wasn't going to depend on what we could do. As God doesn't need anything that we can give. He doesn't need it. Nor does he want it. He wants us just to trust him. As I close, I love this scripture that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, having clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's huge. You know, you just think about it. There is no classes in the kingdom of God. There is no economics. There's no smart. There's no people who have and people who have not. The only thing that we have is faith. And that's what binds us together. I think when you talk about equal rights, you know, Jesus was followed by women. God was the original equal rights. That he cared about women and recognized everybody equal before the Lord, including noisy kids, happy kids. I just, as we close today, I just offer that invitation that God has, that we get to enter it by faith, not by performance, not by doing things. We're not either disqualified and we're not qualified by what we do. We only get to enter it by faith. And in the realization of that, it changes how you live your life. It changes because you have God's Spirit that's planted in you that prompts you to do things and say things and not do things and changes our hearts. Things that you may struggle with. You know, whether it's even believing that God exists. And, you know, there's different things. When I talk to people who struggle, you know, church. In fact, I just talked to somebody this last week. We had a contractor come in and help us out. And I invited him. I said, hey, he lives here in Lebanon. I said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? I said, no. He says, yeah, you. I said, we'd love to have you come. Come visit. He goes, no, I tried that thing. I said, no, really. I said, it's something worth trying again. He says, no, you understand, I have had a really messed up life. I say, no, God's in the redeeming business. You know, I don't know what his struggle was. We didn't go very far because I didn't want to be too, you know, because I actually asked him, I said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And I said, you knew that question was coming, didn't you? Talking to the pastor in a church. And he said, yeah, I did. But I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to be welcoming. Because why? Salvation doesn't come by going to church. Salvation comes by trusting God. If that's here you this morning, I would invite you. Just where you are, raise your hand. Are you ready to receive Jesus through faith, not through performance? If that's you this morning, raise your hand. And I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. And one of those kind of things is what you do on the outside is indication of what's going on the inside. Is anybody here ready to be bold and raise their hand this morning? Let's pray. Lord, I know that you are always working. Lord, I thank you that just a reminder is Paul just kind of like, he just beats us from all different angles because we can't cover all the ways that we can go sideways. Lord, we can't have enough rules and enough safety ropes and barriers, Lord, because we'll find a way to go to sin. Lord, but we need to have one way that we know that we can be right with you. And that's through faith in you, Jesus, and what you did on the cross. Lord, in the hope and the promise of a resurrection to something that's so much better beyond what we can think or imagine. Lord, you created us with imaginations. And we need to exercise those, Lord, and recognize and worship you that your reality, what you have prepared for us, is beyond what we can think or imagine. Lord, I just pray this morning as you talk to our hearts that we would recognize that our righteousness is in faith alone. It's not faith plus anything. It's faith plus nothing. Nothing but our believing that what you said is true. That what you began, you'll complete it. Lord, thank you for this season that we get to celebrate. Lord, I just pray that those that can come back tonight to our Christmas dinner, Lord, would get here safely, and that it would be a joyful, shameless, free from hiding, free from facades, but a place that we can just come and be who we are, who you created us to be. And we love you, Lord. Amen. If you'd like prayer, we have people that